This morning, we are going to conclude our study that we've been doing on heaven. What we've been trying to do is really take a look at what does the Bible say about heaven, and from what the Bible says, what kind of clues do we get about heaven itself, so that we can just try to understand it better. What is this place, this heaven, that we all long to be at? What is it really like? And that's what we've been studying for the last, this is lesson 14 in this series, by the way. Okay? Over the last several weeks, the last several lessons in this, we've been specifically looking at some questions about heaven itself, trying to unlock perhaps some mysteries about heaven. In this final lesson on heaven, we're going to be looking at this particular question. What will we do in heaven? Okay? In other words, we all want to go there, right?
Amen.
We all want to go there, right?
Amen.
Okay, so the question then is, when we get there, what are we going to do? What is life in heaven really going to be like? Okay? Is there going to be football? We talked about that, you know. What about golf? What about, you know, dogs and cats and all those other things? You know, we've talked about some of those things. Well, what is it really going to be like? As someone says, what are we going to do in heaven? All right, so let's talk about that a little bit this morning, see if we can't figure out, you know, some things about this. What are we going to do? In other words, we're talking about where we are going to be for how long? Eternity, right? All right. So what are we going to do for all eternity is really the question here, right? What are we going to do in heaven? Before we can really figure that out and understand some things, we need to understand this. Some lies that Satan tells about heaven. One particular lie that we need to understand, all right? And that lie, and Satan tells a lot of lies. Jesus calls him the father of lies. It says everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. When he lies, he speaks his native language. All right? So anything Satan has to say about anything is a lie. Thank you. All right? And he certainly has some lies to tell about heaven itself. And one in particular that he tells about Satan, about heaven, that has to do with the answer to our question this morning, is that heaven is boring. Okay? Isn't heaven really kind of boring? I mean, after all, you know, we're going to be there, and what are we actually going to be doing? What do you actually do in heaven? There's no football, there's no golf, there, you know, all those other things that we said there's not, you know, this and so on and so forth. Well, if there's not any of that, what is there? It must be a pretty boring place. After all, nothing really happens in heaven, does it? You see? And then there's that old proverbial, we have our cloud. Right? We're all going to get a cloud that we're going to sit on, right? I don't recall that in the Bible anywhere, but that seems to be, you know, the myth that we're going to have this cloud that's going to be ours. I don't see about a cloud. I read about a what? What did we just think about? A mansion that we're going to have, okay? But we have this cloud, and we're going to be sitting up there on the cloud, and since there's nothing to do, we're going to find ourselves being bored. That's the lie that Satan wants us to believe, because there really isn't anything really to do in heaven. So, you know, how long? I mean, eternity's a long time, right? So how long can you sit and do nothing and not be bored? Right? Some of you would go, forever. And then there's those of us who would go, 5 minutes. Okay, 5 minutes. I gotta have something to do in 5 minutes, or I'm going crazy. All right, I know Shirley's over there shaking her head. Right? Can you go 5 minutes, Shirley? Probably not. Okay, but it's that, you know, if we're talking about all eternity, okay, and I'm just kind of gonna be hanging out there, then it won't take me long to be bored in heaven, right? So, why do you think Why do we think that heaven is going to be boring? Why is Satan so successful with this particular lie about heaven? Well, I think it's because of our misunderstanding of some things that the Bible says about heaven. So let's take a look at a couple of things. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. The writer here says, therefore, since the promise of entering his, look at this, his what?
Rest.
His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. So the writer of Hebrews is telling us, what are we looking forward to in the terms that the Bible used? We're going to our heavenly
rest.
Right? Okay? Verses 9 through 11. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also, and look at this, rests from his own work, just as God did from his. So, okay, we're not going to be working. We're not going to be playing. So what are we going to be doing? We're going to be resting. Right? And so when we think about that we're going to be resting, okay, look at what he says chapter 14, verse 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will do what?
Rest.
They will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them.
Man.
When we think of rest, here's where the problem comes in. We think of inactivity, don't we? All right, it's kind of like these folks right here. All right, I mean, are these guys resting or are they resting? Right? I mean, just as we would say, get to the world. They are fully resting and relaxed. Now, typically, when we kind of think of resting in heaven, maybe, especially since we've talked about the idea of, you know, the new heaven and the new earth and so forth, we got our mansion, right? And so maybe this is a little bit more of the picture that you have of what you're going to be doing in heaven, right? I mean, you got your mansion in the new heaven, the new earth, and in your backyard, you're going to have a hammock, right? And since you're going to be entering the rest, okay, God's rest, you're going to be resting from your labor because, you know, you're not going to have to clean that mansion because there's not any dirt in heaven, right? So what are you going to do? Well, lie out on your hammock and
rest,
right? Wow. Isn't heaven going to be boring? I mean, how long can you lay in a hammock, okay, and rest and do nothing? That's the lie that Satan wants us to believe. Heaven's going to be boring because all we're going to be doing is just kind of laying around our cloud, our hammock cloud, doing nothing, and we'll be bored. Why is this lie so powerful? Why does Satan use it? Well, think about it this way. If heaven is going to be boring, then we won't get excited about being there. Okay? I mean, who wants to be bored for all eternity? And then we find ourselves thinking this. That is a fate worse than death. I have nothing to do. I'm sitting here on this cloud all day. Why is it so powerful? Because the things of the world are so exciting. That's why. Remember, those of you who are old enough to remember the Schlitz beer commercials. You only go around once in life, and so you have to grab all the gusto you can. And so our life in this world is a pursuit of gusto. Because gusto is exciting, isn't it?
Amen.
And so we live for excitement. Right? And when you look at how exciting things are in this world, and you think about how boring heaven must be in comparison, the excitement that this world offers can very easily draw our attention and our focus off of God. Why do you think so many people really don't? Barron, you were talking about being ready. You know, you got the ice melt and snow shovel there. And so many people aren't really prepared Because they're busy being excited now. And heaven's going to come later. And it's going to be boring anyway. And so I'm going to enjoy as much of this life as I can now. Because I'll have an eternity to sit up there on my cloud and rest. And all that excitement that the world offers to us takes our focus off of God. I got plenty of time. I got plenty of time to prepare to be bored for the rest of my life. So let me enjoy life now while I can, because I only got one. So we live for this motto. He who dies with most toys wins. Right? And that becomes our focus. Get as much excitement, as much fun, as much stuff as I possibly can now. Because I'm not going to have any of that stuff there. And it's going to be boring. Here's one of the things we have to understand. When the Bible talks about rest, and especially eternal rest, that rest does not equal inactivity. Okay? That's not what rest refers to. Okay? Well, what does it refer to then? When it talks about us entering our rest, well, it's talking about having a rest from all the meaningless and frustrating activities that we deal with in this life. You want to have rest from that? Well, I sure do. I sure do. I can't wait to not have to deal with all the garbage that I have to deal with in this world. I want to rest from that. And that's the promise of rest, that when we're in heaven, we're not going to have to deal with any of those problems anymore. There won't be any more suffering, no more pain, no more death, no more dying. There won't be any relationship issues. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. We won't have any of that kind of garbage to deal with. There won't be any of that stuff. So we will have a rest for all eternity from all of that kind of frustrating activity.
Amen.
See? So rest doesn't mean inactivity. Doesn't mean we're not going to be doing anything. It means we're not going to have to do this kind of activity and deal with that. So if it doesn't mean that, and we're going to be doing something, well, what exactly are we going to be doing? Well, we're going to be enjoying it for one thing. Whatever it is we're going to be doing, we're going to talk about some specifics in a minute, we're going to be enjoying it. Look at the text we read as we began this morning. Psalm 16, verse 11. You make known to me the path of life. And look at this next statement. In your presence there is what? Fullness of joy. Okay? Now, all of the stuff, all the activities, all of the things that we do in this life, that we do for excitement and enjoyment, they bring us a lot of that, right? But here's the problem. Whenever the activity or whatever it is finished, what happens with our joy? It's gone. And that's why so often I need to have more and better the next time, because I got used to this right here, and it's kind of like a junkie, right? I got to have more in order to find that joy and excitement. But here the psalmist says that God gives us how much joy? Fullness of joy. A fullness of joy. And then he goes on to say, at your right hand are what?
Pleasures
for how long?
Forever.
Pleasures forever at the right hand of God. So whatever it is we're going to be doing in heaven, whatever activity we will be involved in, okay, it's going to bring us a fullness of joy. Not a temporary, not a partial, but a fullness of joy. And it will bring us pleasure that will never end. Pleasure forever.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that kind of boredom.
Amen.
Okay? All right? So, let's talk about. Here's four things that we're going to do in heaven. All right? Number one, we will have unhindered worship. of Almighty God. Unhindered worship. All right, look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After this, now the context here, the writer, John here is telling us what he saw. In the first part of this, up to, from verse 1 to verse 8, he's talking about the those who are saved there in heaven amongst the Israelites. He said, I looked and I saw from amongst them 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. Now, he doesn't literally mean that there's only 144,000, by the way, as some churches teach today. Okay? All right? That 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe of Israel simply means that all of the saved who will be saved of Israel will be there. They'll be saved. The complete number, 144,000, 12 and multiples of 12 represent completeness. So all of those who are Israelites who are going to be saved will be saved and they'll be there. The problem with those who teach that only 144,000, you know, are going to actually go to heaven, they don't keep reading from verse 9 on down, because look at what it says. After he saw that 144,000 of the Israelites, he says, I looked, and there before me was what? A great multitude that no one could count. And where were they from? From every nation, every tribe, every people, and every language. And they were standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. So this great multitude that is uncountable, that includes the Israelites who will, are saved, and the Gentiles. That's the only two options we have, right? Okay. All of those who will be saved are going to be there before the throne. They're going to be dressed in these white robes, and what's going to be going on while they are doing this is they're standing before the throne of Almighty God. Okay? And here's just kind of this picture, give you maybe a visual of what that might be like. They cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. All the angels who were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, they fell down on their faces before the throne, and they did what? They worshiped God. Okay? Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. So what are we going to be doing there? We're going to be worshiping Almighty God, right? Somehow, I don't think that worship is going to be boring. All right? Revelation 5, verses 8 and 9. The four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they did what? They sang a new song. Okay? So we're going to be singing during that worship, right? We're going to be praising God. We're going to be honoring Him. We're going to be singing before Him. Verses 13 and 14. Then I heard it. I heard what? Every creature in heaven. Okay. Every creature. Every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all is in them singing. That's what they're going to be doing. That's what we will be doing. Okay? To Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen, and the elders fell down and worshiped. What a magnificent picture of one of the things that we will be doing in heaven is worshiping Almighty God, singing and praising Him. The glory and power and honor to Him forever and ever. Amen. There's another, perhaps, an artist's rendition of maybe what that might be like. You see, here's something to think about. I think we might perhaps hinder our worship here, now, on earth, all the rules that we have about worship. rules that won't be in heaven. What do you mean? Well, if you think about it, you go back and you read the Bible and you read biblical history, and we say, well, we try to pattern our worship after first century Christians, right? And after New Testament Christians, and we want to do things the way they do it. And you realize, though, that what we do in worship today, as we do it, does not come from the first century. It comes from the Middle Ages. Okay? Throughout the history of Christianity, first century Christians didn't know anything about church buildings and pews and singing two songs and a prayer and another song and then another prayer and so on and so forth. See? Now, I'm not saying those things are wrong for us to do that. It works for us today, doesn't it? Okay? But what I'm saying is, perhaps we need to look and to think, you know, have we hindered our free worship of Almighty God? And do we really express the worship the way that we can? We didn't restrict it so much by formalities and do this. I mean, I tell you, one of the things I'm really grateful for is this congregation. One of the things that we do is you let me stand right down here and preach rather than making me stand up there, which a lot of churches, now you just don't do that. Because whoever's going to be speaking, you've got to speak from up there behind the podium because that's where speakers speak from, right? No? And so it's just a way for us to consider and look at what are we going to be doing for all eternity? And what can we do now to really experience the presence of Almighty God in our worship today? We'll talk more about that in just a moment. Number two, we're going to have unending learning about God. Forever. We're going to be learning about God.
Amen.
Okay? I don't know about you, but I guess you probably do. I know I do. I've got a list of questions, right? You got your questions for God? You know, when you get to heaven, you know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God about these things because I can't find the answers to them this side of heaven. So I got my list of questions. And I've said before, you know, that probably, I know most of my questions, but when I get there, they won't really be that important anymore. Okay? Probably some still that I want to know.
Yeah.
Okay? So I have lots of questions. Do you know everything there is to know about God right now? No, I don't. Okay. We have lots and lots of questions. Ernie Thigpen, in the stuff that he did on this same material here, throws out a couple of things that I think are really interesting. Three statements that he makes about us getting to know God. He says, first of all, God is infinite and we are eternal. Well, what does that mean? Well, God is infinite in that he never had a beginning and he never has an end. He's always existed. You and I are eternal in that we all had a beginning, okay? But yet we will not have an end. Physically we will, but not spiritually. We will never end. We are eternal in that way. So God is different from us in that way. Secondly, he says there is so much to learn about him. And then he says this, we will know him accurately, but not exhaustively. Okay? In other words, everything that we learn about God in heaven, it will be accurate. How much inaccuracy is there about God in this world? An awful lot, isn't it? But in heaven, we will learn about God, and everything we learn about him will be right. It will be accurate. Okay? But we will never come to a point where we know everything about God. Okay? So we will know him accurately, but not exhaustively. There will always be more to learn and experience about Almighty God in heaven. And what? Let's take a look over in Ephesians. How do we know? We're going to be learning something. Look at what Paul says here to the church. God raised us up with Christ and did what with us? He seated us with him in the heavenly realms. What's he talking about? Being with him in heaven, right? Okay? In order that in the coming ages he might show. So in the coming ages, which is the age to come, okay, after this, how many more ages are going to be? This is it, okay? When this age is done, it's eternity. So in that coming age, he's going to be showing us some things. We're going to be learning some things. And what specifically does he say? The incomparable riches of his grace expressing his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. You will have an eternity to learn that about God. Okay? What are some things specifically? Perhaps that you want to know more about God and about heaven and so forth. What are some things that we will learn while we're in heaven? Well, you know, there will be somewhere out there up in heaven. You know, we talk about the Book of Life. I think probably right next to it on the podium, this is just a joke, okay? Right next to the podium, there's going to be a book there that says everything to know about God from A to Z. All right? And you will read it through and through forever and ever, and you will never learn everything there is to know about God. If you start at the beginning and you go all the way to the end, there will always be more, but we will learn about God himself. What about those angels? You got any questions about them? You know, how do they fly? You know? What do you want to know about the angels? You'll find that out. You'll have a whole eternity to learn about the angels in heaven. Okay? How about that new heaven and that new earth that we've been talking about? See? Where we are going to live and exist for all eternity. We'll have an eternity to explore it. And to enjoy it and to learn about it. Right now, we just kind of look at it and go, yeah, there's a new heaven and new earth, but what's going to be made out of it? Well, I don't know. We'll have a whole eternity to learn about that home and that mansion, what's it going to look like. But we'll be able to learn that, you see. And here's one of the things I'm really looking forward to. You'll have a whole host of people that you will have an eternity to get to know. A whole host of people. I can't wait to meet Abraham. How about you?
Man.
Yeah. And Isaac and Jacob and David. Well, I want to talk to him about that thing with Goliath, you know. We'll be able to do that and spend a whole eternity hobnobbing. You see, and fellowshipping with everyone else that is there and getting to know them in relationships. And then we'll be able to get to know not only God the Father, but God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and to understand fully this whole concept of a Trinity and so forth that right now we can only understand on a certain level. But when we get to heaven, we'll have a whole eternity to get to know God and to completely and fully understand how he does that. Because that's one of the questions on the list. I don't know about you. You see? So we will learn about God. We'll be busy. A lot to learn about God and about heaven. Third thing that we'll be doing in heaven is we'll be involved in meaningful service to God forever. Okay? Yes, we will have work to do. You say, wait a minute, Russ, I thought we were going to be resting. Okay? But yes, we are going to be resting from all, as we said, all the garbage here. But we're going to have work to do in heaven. We're not going to be just sitting around on the cloud being bored. We've got work to do. Not just work, but work, work, and more work. You say, well, what kind of work? What do you mean we're going to be doing work in heaven? I'm working here. I can't wait to retire. Okay? But retirement in heaven is going to be completely different because you will retire from this life and you will begin working in service to Almighty God for all eternity.
Amen.
Look at in Matthew chapter 25 where Jesus is talking about what's going to happen, you know, in the judgment and in the end times and how all this, and there's a parable here or a story that he tells about the master that goes away. Before he does, he gives certain servants certain amount of talents, and when he comes back, he says that after a time the master comes back and he calls his servants to account, and the first one comes back and he says, see, you gave me 10 talents, I have 10 more. And look at what he says. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Yeah. I will set you over much. You've been really faithful in what you've been doing on earth. And now I've got even more for you to do. Where?
Heaven.
Enter into the joy of your master. Where is that?
Heaven.
Heaven, you see. So he's going to set those who are faithful servants, he's going to set us over much more than what we had to do here. What is that going to be? I don't know. But whatever it is, we're going to be over much. I do know one thing that we'll be doing. Okay? 2 Timothy 2:11-12. Here is a trustworthy saying. If we die with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also do what?
Reign
with him. So one of the things, one of the works perhaps that we will be doing is we will be reigning with Christ. Now, what will that involve? What will reigning with Christ involve? I don't know. I just know that the Bible tells us that's one of the things we're going to be doing. You see, that's one of the works that we're going to be about, is reigning with Christ. Revelation 22, verse 3. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will do what? They will serve him. Okay? They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of the lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will, here it is again, reign forever and ever. So we are going to be serving God, and part of that service somehow is going to involve us reigning with him.
Amen.
How much time do you think by now that we're going to have to be bored in heaven? You say, we're going to be busy folks. All right? We're going to be busy worshiping him and praising him. We're going to be busy learning about him. And we're going to be busy serving and reigning with him. And then there's one more thing we're going to be busy doing. We're going to have perfectly fulfilling fellowship forever. Okay? We're going to be enjoying that.
Amen.
All right? We're going to be busy in heaven. Can you imagine? Okay? Can you imagine? For all eternity, in the relationships that we will share. Remember we saw a few moments ago, we're talking about all those people we're going to get to know. We're going to spend an eternity getting to know all these folks. And in all of those relationships that we will establish, can you imagine there will be no pretense? Okay? Nobody will be wearing any masks. You won't have to wonder if they're being real to you or not, or if they're being fake. What you see will be what you get. You see, we like to hide here, don't we? Behind masks. We don't want people to see who we really are. That won't happen in heaven. There'll be no pretense there. See, we'll get to know people for who they really, truly are. There'll be no arrogance there in heaven. Okay? There's not going to be any different levels, you know, of, you know, place for the wealthy, place for the poor, and, you know, there's not, I don't think there's going to be, I'll see any evidence in the Bible, there's any railroads in heaven, so there's not going to be one side of the tracks and the other, all those kinds of things, okay? So there's no arrogance, there won't be any arrogance, nobody will look down at anybody else, thinking that they're better than anyone else. There'll be no insecurities. Imagine. Not only can you be real with everyone, but you don't have to worry about what they're going to think and whether they're going to like you or not. Everybody's going to like everybody in heaven.
Right.
You see? And so we won't have any of these feelings of insecurity that so often people have here in this life. There won't be any judgment. There won't be any passing of judgment upon somebody. Did you see that gown that he was wearing? You know? Can you believe that he wore that and she wore that twice in the same worship service of God? You know? Won't be any of that kind of stuff. Don't worry about that. There won't be any
discrimination.
Amen.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of people, a lot of folks who call themselves Christians in this life. Don't want to worship with blacks, they don't want to worship with whites, they don't want to worship with this group or that group. Well, you know what? They won't have to worry about that, okay? Because they're not going to be there. You don't have to worry about a white side and a black side of heaven, or a red side, or anything else, because that's not going to exist. We're all going to be one.
Amen. Yes.
And nobody will be discriminating against anybody for any reason. You won't find that. Can you imagine for all eternity in our relationships? That's what we will enjoy.
Amen.
And that's how we will be doing relationships. There won't be any pettiness. We've got an awful lot of that going on today. People's feelings get hurt way too easy today. And we got all kinds of folks who are getting offended over the slightest little things. You see? And so we got to talk right. We got to use the right language. Everything's got to be politically correct and so on and so forth. There is no political correctness in heaven. I don't have to worry about that. You say, won't be any pettiness.
Man.
People getting upset and getting their feelings hurt over this or that or what have you. Can you imagine?
Well,
that kind of fellowship that we will look forward to, that we will enjoy forever in heaven. We're going to be busy folks.
Man.
You say, we're going to be busy enjoying our relationships with all of the other folks that are going to be there. Time to be bored? Are you kidding me? No way. None of the difficulties that we have in the relationships that we have here, they're not going to exist. That's what we will have rest from, as we were talking about earlier. You say, none of that stuff will be going on. We said at the very beginning of this study, and I've said it over and over again throughout this, that here is the theme of this whole study. Heaven someday does what? It helps me live for Jesus today. The goal that I had for this study was to help us to look at heaven and understand it perhaps a little bit better and to learn some things that will help me. And the more that I see how heaven works in my life today, to help me in my life today in the early part of our study, and the more I've learned about heaven itself and long to be there, then looking forward to being in heaven someday will help me to live better and more for Jesus now. In my life every day. So here's a question. Why not do these four things that we talked about that we're going to be doing for all eternity? Why not do them now? Why wait till we get to heaven? You say? Why not focus more on doing them better now than perhaps that we are? So that our worship, let's focus on unhindered worship to Almighty God. And let's focus on getting to know Him, studying His Word. That's why we have Bible classes here. Here's a hint for you, okay? Bible classes. They happen at 9:30 every Sunday morning and at 7 o'clock every Wednesday evening. Take advantage of those. Bring your children so that they can learn about God now. If you don't want to do it now, in this mist of a life that you have, this very short time, you don't want to do that now, why would you want to do it for all eternity? Let's learn more and more about God now. Let's serve Him daily, more and more in our lives. Like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Are you committed and dedicated to that now? In your life. And seek fulfilling relationships with your brothers and sisters now. so that we work at removing whatever obstacles might be there that are hindering our relationships with one another or hurting them. Let's get rid of that so that we can enjoy that fellowship now as well as in eternity. Let's be committed to doing that more and more now. Let's not wait for eternity. Jesus, John chapter 10, verse 10, says this: "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." And so by doing those things now, by not waiting, that we enjoy the opportunity to have a more full and abundant life now, as well as in eternity. Heaven someday helps me live for Jesus today.
Amen.
And that's a challenge, this whole study that we've been doing about heaven. We all want to go there. It's all about heaven. Okay? Don't miss heaven.
Amen. Amen.
I hope that this study on heaven that we've done has been beneficial to you, to be challenged your thinking some, and maybe open your eyes to what we have to look forward to, answer some questions. There's still a lot more questions that we have, though, aren't there? We have an eternity to find the answers to those. Right now, what we want to do is to be able to provide answers to folks who are struggling, that are hurting. Maybe it's sin that you're struggling with in your life. Maybe there's relationship problems that are going on that you need some help with. It may be that there's somebody here that has not given their life to Christ and you're ready to do that. Do you realize that you're separated from God by your sins, and you will be until you have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism, giving your life to Christ? I'm here to tell you right now, you can do that this morning, right now. You don't have to wait. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, and call upon Him as your Lord, repent of the sin that's separating you from God, and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now.
Amen.
Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private conversation or prayer with him back there, and I'll be up front to receive anyone that would like to come up here. We offer the Lord's invitation for anyone to come to let us know what we can do to help you live for Jesus today. Let's stand together and sing.